Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast.
Well, hello there. Today is Thursday, January the 26th. This is the Illuminated Word, and I'm David McLean. Today we're going to continue going through 1 Peter as we have been doing this week. We come to 1 Peter chapter 2. And our reading will come from verses 1 through 10. Peter writes, "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Throughout the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people fall, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy." I kind of want to share something with you that's been on my heart lately. And it's, we live in a world that is it's full of people who are lost. People don't know or don't believe or don't choose to believe that God loves them, that Christ died for them. And not just that, but we live in a world where many believe that they simply don't fit in. We live in a world where many people are searching for a sense of belonging to someone or something. We live in a world where people who don't feel like they fit in, or they don't believe in something higher than themselves, they choose to end their lives. We live in a time where many are simply experiencing what I call an identity crisis. We live in a time where many people, both in and out of the church, are experiencing an identity crisis. In other words, we don't know who we are. We've lost our identity. We don't know who or what we are. And so consequently, we struggle every day with this concept of walking between what we say we believe and what the world wants from us. One day we can be these worldly, selfish, me-centered people, and then the next day we can be these super spiritual saints. And today we're saved, and tomorrow we're slipping away. We've lost our identity. And as a result, we're walking around like spiritual zombies, trying to find life in any and everything around us. And so because of this identity crisis, we're faced with a very unfortunate dilemma that we have to deal with. And there are some issues that come about due to our lack of ability to know who we really are that we have to deal with. See, in light of this identity crisis, we have to deal with the preconceived opinion of who the world thinks we are. It's no secret of what the world really thinks about those who profess belief in Christ, just turn on your TV, stream any show, read any news article. It's no secret that the world thinks that we are kind of second-class citizens, that we're no more than fanatics, maybe frauds, maybe freaks. Sometimes the world thinks that we're nothing more than extremists or trying to get some attention. They believe that we're Bible-toting, tongue-speaking renegades who only want to put on a spectacle for others to see. They believe that the church is really nothing more than a social club where we gather together week to week and we compare clothes and hairstyles and trends. Really, the church is nothing more, in their opinion, than a place for those who are in everybody else's business to gather to share notes and swap stories. Maybe they even feel that the only difference between them and us is that they're meeting in the clubs and bars, but we're meeting in a church building. And as a result of their thoughts about us, we become ineffective when we're trying to share our faith with people. We can't tell them anything because they see us doing the same thing. We can't tell them not to do something because we're doing everything. And because this spiritual identity crisis has been going on for so long, it doesn't matter what we do to try and show them different. They're just not buying it because so many have been hurt and rejected and made fun of by Christians that they refuse to hear anything that we have to say. Sometimes the world thinks we're just putting on a show, pretending to be something that we're not. Maybe they think we're faking it. See, that's a detriment to the church, to all of us, because that hinders our sharing our faith, that hinders our story. So many are in the midst of a spiritual identity crisis because we're trying to be who the world thinks we are, but I've also discovered that we get caught up in who we believe we are. Many people are led into believing that once you've accepted Jesus, that's it. You know, there's nothing left to do but just sit back and wait for Jesus to return. We don't have to worry about no more pain or no more heartache or no more rough times. In other words, we'll be immune to trials and tribulations. But, you know, I hate to bust anybody's bubble, but just because we're Christ followers doesn't mean we won't go through trials and troubles. Doesn't mean we won't experience hard times. Doesn't mean we won't experience some midnight hours losing sleep. I mean, you can ask Paul or Job. There's plenty of people you can ask who were God-believing Christ followers, and yet they were led through trials and tribulations and struggles and tough times. Sometimes we get tricked by the enemy into believing that we are invincible. Meaning, oh, that would never happen to us. I would never fall to that temptation. I'm higher and mightier than other people. Oh, he fell to that temptation, that sin, but I would. And we forget that the Bible says that all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Well, Isaiah, he knew what he was talking about. Another thing that we're guilty of thinking about ourselves is that we believe we're a product of our own selves. In other words, you are who or you are what you are because of your own power. You are who or what you are because of your own ability, because of who your parents are, because of your education, because of your position in the community. But the truth of the matter is, you are who and what you are because of God. You see, before we even had the sense to know who we were or what we wanted to be, God had already said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God knew us before we knew us. God knew me before I knew me. Because we're so hung up on who we believe we are, oftentimes we find ourselves trying to conform to our so-called beliefs without actually thinking about if our beliefs are in the will of God. And because we're so busy conforming from one belief to another and transforming from one thing to another, we find ourselves trapped in this state of amnesia because we've lost track of who we are supposed to be right then and there. We forget passages like Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we have to understand that this is a mind thing. And until we change our thinking to God's way of thinking, until we change our mindset to a godly mindset, until we change our beliefs and we believe in what God says, we'll be constantly stuck in a state of spiritual identity crisis. If you want to overcome a spiritual identity crisis, don't worry about who the world thinks you are, and don't worry about who you believe you are, but we have to stand on and rest in who Christ says we are. In spite of the world thinks of us, in spite of what we believe about ourselves, we have to know what Christ says we are, which leads us back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You are selected. You are preferred. You are royal priesthood. You are majestic. You are royal. You are a holy nation, God's holy nation, a peculiar people, God's very own possession. Peter knew then when he wrote these words that believers were going to struggle with identity. Because, folks, it's hard to live in the world but not be of the world. It's hard to not get wrapped up in what others are saying about us, or saying about us around us, what others think about us. It's hard to not just throw in the towel sometimes and say, you know what, I'm done. It's hard to not get wrapped up in what we think about ourselves when the world beats us up, when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we don't like what we see, we don't like the image that is there, when we, you know, think we could be, you know, smaller, we could dress nicer, we could have, you know, a better head of hair or hair at all. You know, when we look in the mirror and we say, I don't like who I see, we forget that who we're looking at is a child of God that was created in the image of God. And so Peter knew that was going to be a problem. That's why he says, you need to remember, this is who you are, and because of who you are, get rid of all your evil behavior. Be done with deceit and hypocrisy and jealousy, all the unkind speech, because of who you are. People, the ones who choose not to believe, they stumble. They have stumbled over Jesus and the message that he has. But if you've chosen to follow Jesus and to be a Christ follower, then you are not like them. You put away all that because you're not like that. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And as a result of who we are, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful life. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. You want to make a difference in the world around you, in the community around you, in the people around you, then remember who Jesus says you are. And then you can show the goodness of God to everyone around you. Thank you for listening, not just today, but each time you listen to the Illuminated Word. Our hope is that this podcast encourages you each time. Maybe you learned something new you didn't know before, but that it would encourage you to continue living your faith as you move throughout your day. And of course, our prayer is also that you would see opportunities that God has opened for you each day to be a blessing to those around you in some form or fashion. And until next time you listen to the Illuminated Word, have a blessed day.